We're on the in the Cholos Havavos in the brown sefer on the bottom of page Kuf Pei Beis, the bottom line Ha'oifen Hachamishi, the fifth tool of making a cheshbon hanefesh. Okay, so far we've learned three basic tools, even though it's the fifth one. The four tools again that Hashem brought us into the world, the wonderful body that works so well, a seichel, intelligence, the Torah. Now, this fifth tool takes the previous tools and integrates them into a goal, so to speak. It tells us to make a cheshbon nefesh and see how lazy we are, how lax we are when it comes to trying to understand Hashem's Torah. The fourth tool told us to recognize the great chesed that Hashem did in giving us the Torah. The fifth tool is going to tell us to search within ourselves and see how lazy we are in trying to understand the Torah, and not only that, but also how satisfied we are with the misunderstanding of the Torah. And that's what he is going to be discussing in this section. Ha'ifen Achamishi, the fifth exercise, Cheshben HaNefesh Yasa La'atzmo, the person should make a calculation for himself. That the person is lazy from trying to understand this book of the Torah of God. He relates to it with indifference, in understanding its content. Davar, something, as they'd give an analogy, for example, Davar Shuloha Yaose, Iluhoya Makabal Sefer Amelach, something he would not do if he would be receiving a book from a king. Sha'az Ilu, with instructions, obviously, the king gives him, he's the new general, and he gives him all the procedures. What do you call that? That thing's called something in procedures whenever you get into a company. What?
Policies.
Policies and procedures, right? And you have to keep the policies and procedures. And if you don't, you're going to get fired. You get in big trouble. Let's say you read a line there and you're not sure what it means. Well, I got to do my job, right? Or you're not exactly sure, what the reading of the text is. Or understanding what the words mean could be, it's not clear. The words may have been not clear. You don't understand what does this word really mean in this context? What's that general idea is trying to make? Or could be very deep things, complicated things. Vehadin, they could be very subtle. Vamusubach, and confusing. Obiglal signono hatzach, or maybe the style is so refined and subtle. What's he hinting to? What does he really mean when he's saying this? He's being politically correct in what he's saying in the document, but what is the real pshat? So what would he do if it was an important thing? What do you do when, you have lawyers for this, right? And you look through a document of sale, right? Why do you hire a lawyer? Why don't you just say, it looks okay to me? Because the lawyer, he's the one who looks at every nuance, every semicolon, this and that, and then you make changes and you come back and forth because it could mean this. You want to be absolutely clear. So what would he do if he's getting a document from the king? Hu haya merakes bo es kol libo. Merakes, he would concentrate. Literally, recluse means to bring together. But merakes, he would concentrate with his whole heart and his whole intellect to understand what the content is. He'd be in great pain to understand what did the king mean in that document. Right? So fine. So that's the analogy. And you wouldn't be satisfied with a superficial understanding of the book. You wouldn't excuse yourself and say it's too hard. You'd make it your business, know what you have to do. And you do a lot more. Vayomer la'atzmo, and he'd say to himself, Ma im hoyisa osa zos kidei lohavin sefer shalom chalosh uben tmuso kamocha. If this is what a person would do in order to understand what a weak person, uben tamusa, a person who will die one day, just like you, And you're making such an effort to understand it. In Cain, if so, pikama yoser, how much more so? Atochayav laso, so you have to do the same, inspection and thinking and concentrating and understand what it really means. To understand the book of your God, asher hu chayecha, which is your life, as the pasuk says in Sefer Dvarim, ki hu chayecha ve'orech yamecha, the Torah is your life and the length of your days. Okay, so if this is something really important to you, you're going to put a lot of effort into it. If it's not important, you're not going to put a lot of effort put into it, right? The amount of effort you put into something reveals a lot about you. So therefore, he says, Ve'eich im kein, so how if so? Here, Shei Salatzmacha, have you permitted for yourself, Achi, my dear brother, Lisalem Miseiro came to hide yourself from this book of God, Ulistapek, and to be satisfied, Biidvias Hadvorim Hakalim Shabo, to be satisfied with only knowing the very light and easy things, Hamuvanim Bishivch Yusvarv, that are known just to a superficial reading of the text, Ulazalzal, and to denigrate Binyanim Amukim in the deeper things, Vani Storm Shabo, that are hidden in it. Halohim chara, don't you see bachush with your feelings? Can't you sense? Eza mishkesh, what mistake you're making over here? Veza pechisus, and what lower of standard mint of yourself? Gilisa, have you revealed? Bihisnagus chazol, with this type of behavior. Don't you see how deficient you are by behaving this way? Halohim chamisnaid vidoyme lemisha omer lov, you are conducting yourself as the prophet Daniel says, "Ve'le'lo hey chaspa v'dava nechosha parzla ova avnu dilochazim loshamim v'loyodin shabachta v'loka dinishmasach bidei v'chol archosachol le'lo hadarta." You don't understand a word of that because it's all in Aramaic. So if we look at footnote Yud in the Pisrei Lev, he translates it into normal Hebrew for us, but which you can understand. Le'elile kesev izah nechoshes ubarzal eis v'evin, to gods of gold, silver and gold and bronze and copper, eis v'evin, wood and stone, asher lo roim, that do not see, v'lo shomim, and do not hear, v'lo mim, and don't understand, v'hem nosata shevach v'kor, to them you gave praise and grandeur, v'ilu le'lokim, but to God, Asher nishmoscha biyado, that your soul is in his hand. V'chol derechecha misurim biyado, and all your ways are given over in his hands. Lo, to him, lo nasata kavod, you did not give honor. And obviously, the Chovas always understand the honor is by trying to understand how important it is. In other words, if you make an effort to understand something, that means you think it's important, right? You think it's important. So why do you think it's important? Because what he's saying is really important. And you're giving honor. So if Hashem says something and you say, well, I don't need to understand it, that means it must not be important. So that means you're not giving kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, we know that great Gedolim, if they didn't understand a piece of Gemara, or they didn't understand a commentary of one of the Rishonim on the Gemara, you know, they would go crazy. They would spend hours and hours. They'd go to visit a kever of a grave of a great tzaddik, and they daven for siyata d'shmaya that Hashem should assist them in saying the Gemara. Rav Chaim Volozhin relates that one time the Vilna Gaon, often the Vilna Gaon would fast for days on end if he was stuck on a piece of Gemara and didn't have clear understanding, commensurate with the level that he could understand something. And one time Rav Chaim Volozhin came to visit the Vilna Gaon, and the Vilna Gaon's Rebbetzin said, my husband hasn't eaten in 3 days. He's been in his room. He can't figure out the Gemara. So Reb Chaim came in. He sat down with him. They learned the Gemara together. Another mind. Two minds work better than one. And just by being with Reb Chaim and speaking it over, the Vilna Gaon came to understand the Gemara. He had such a great joy in understanding, and now he's able to eat. So you're going to say, okay, that's the Vilna Gaon, and that's not me. But it's not only Gaonim. You know, there are many secular people who felt that what they were doing was very important, and they really had to get down to the bottom of it and understand what was going on. You know, they say similarly, lahavdil, about Jonas Salk, who the wife would say, she would pack him his lunch, he'd go to work with his lunch, and he'd come home with the very same lunch, he didn't touch his lunch. Why not? Because he was so busy looking for the various cures and vaccines that he was famous for inventing, and he had no time to eat. He was so wrapped up in his work. So that's how we can understand the Vilna Gaon on a greater level. There's just no time for eating if you don't understand the Gemara. Now, of course, we're not on that level, and everyone according to their level. But that's what's important. So I once heard a schmooze from Rav Bachofer, who gives a wonderful analogy which helps us to appreciate this kind of enthusiasm. And he made the following analogy. He says, mitzvahs are to Torah as limbs are to a person himself. And what did he mean with that analogy? So he said there's many levels integrated into the makeup of a person. Biologically, we have an epidermis, and below it veins and muscles, and below them bones, and below them vital organs. And we find that the more internal the part in the body, the more important the organ is. Okay? That's for sure true, right? You got a problem. You scratch yourself, you know, on your hand, fingers, okay, but you're going to go down inside a vital organ, that same scratch could be devastating. This is also true psychologically. A person has a part of him, for example, that he shows to the whole world. You go into the office, hi, good morning, how are you? It's an amazing day. Then there's the part of him, or it could be different, that he can show a lousy, rotten mood to the rest of the world, okay? Then there's the part of him that's below, as it were, that external show that he shows everybody. You know, you don't show the whole world your insecurities. You don't show the whole world the doubts that you're grappling with. Now, you might share it with a few people, but not the whole world. And as you go deeper into the psyche of the person, you know, there'll be less and less he's going to share. Some things you share with your friends, but some things you'll only share, let's say, with your wife or whatever. And if you delve deeper into the person, to go to the core of the personality, the essential you of the person, that he may not ever tell to anybody. He may never even say to anybody. So you see, physically and psychologically, there is this point of going deeper and deeper. So he said the same thing is true for Torah. There's the external plain meaning. Then there's the meaning behind those plain ideas, like, for example, what Rashi teaches us. Then deeper than that, there's the halachas and the messages we derive from that. As we dig deeper, we get to the ultimate understanding, the internal and highest aspects of Torah. That's the whole idea of pardes, pshat, remez, drush, sod. So it's important to realize that in all understandings and relationships, no matter what level, we start from the superficial and progress to the deeper aspects. So, and that's the way we are with people. We have superficial relationships with people. We have deeper relationships. We have intimate relationships. And then we have such deep things we may not ever share with anybody or mamish the selectest of the select. So, it's important to understand this. But the question that we have to ask is, why did Hashem make the Torah so hard for us to understand? Why didn't he write out the instruction of the Torah with all the explanations incorporated? You know, many a parsha class that I would give, we'd go through the text, we'd ask a number of questions, we'd say problems with the text, when we bring Rashi, Ramban, problems with them, then we go into the Medrash, problems with the Medrash, then you go bring the Zohar, the Arizal, problems with that, then we try to unravel it and figure what it all means, and then we come to an amazing pshat, and this is mamish with the whole parsha means. Or in halacha, same idea, Hilchos Shabbos, to get to all the minyanim of that. So why didn't Hashem just write write it all? So the simple answer, and it's not a full answer at all, it would be too much to write, right? It would be bigger than the Gemara. But there's a much more profound answer. And that is that Hashem has made a specific methodology for understanding Torah, because that becomes the tool to teach us how to understand other human beings. In other words, the effort and the tools and techniques that you need to employ in order to get to know Torah works the same way as how to get to know other people. And you have to learn to relate to Torah the way you're going to relate to other people. And you have to, more than that even, you have to relate to Torah the way you relate to your spouse. And that's how deep the relationship with Torah has to be. It's a personal relationship that should go all the way to the core of the human being. That's your relationship with Torah. The fact that we say Eish Yischiel every night, you know, every Friday night, really, it's an allegory to the real praise you're giving. There's many interpretations, but one basic one is our relationship with Torah. It really is the praise of the Torah. But we use a mashal of relationship of a husband appreciates his wife. And just like how a person appreciates his wife, you have to be able to appreciate the Torah in that way. And that's really what Eish Yischiel is. Which brings us to an interesting Gemara in Brachas on Daf Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara in Brachas says, if a person dances at a wedding and makes the bride and groom happy, what's his reward? He will merit to learn Torah. He'll really understand Torah. In other words, God will give him divine help in order to understand Torah. So the question is, what's the connection between dancing at a wedding and learning Torah? And the Gemara explains from a Gzeirah Shavah, so to speak, explains that we know how the Torah related to the fact that Torah was given at Sinai. And over there at Sinai, the word kol, voice, is mentioned 5 times about the voice of Hashem. Also, at the Sheva Brachas, by the last of the Sheva Brachas, for the marriage of the Chasan and Kala, we use the word kol, kol sasom, kol sasom, etc., 5 times. So they make an analogy between a wedding and the giving of the Torah. So that's a cute observation, but what's the deeper meaning? So this is the pshat I heard, the comparison. You're using the word kol, but how does kol voice relate to the pshat and the connection to being able to merit to understand Torah? And the answer is, what's the word that the Gemara keeps using? The word kol. Kol means, what is a kol? Kol is a sound in an unbroken tone. It's a sound. Words, however, are sounds that are cut down. When we cut the sounds into certain sequence, we get words. In order to convey a message, a person has to cut his sounds into words. And the thinking that goes on inside the person isn't done merely in words. You know, there's a thought, feeling, language revolving inside of the person. Feelings inside are not felt with language, and they can't necessarily be transmitted to other people unless we cut it into words. So really, if you think about it, the words that come out, is still very far away from the real feelings that the person has. Okay? The feeling that's inside of you, the true, unmitigated feeling inside of you, or let's say something you experience, it has to be translated into words, but you know, the words alone are come very far away from really conveying the message that's there. So what has to happen is you have to reach that innermost quote-unquote voice that comes from the depths of the person. You have to take it and you cut it into words and you transmit the message to others. But like I said, a lot of times, as they say, you know, words cannot express how I feel. So in communication, here's the key. And I'm sure you're an expert at this, Mayor. The key is that the listener must learn to listen, not just to the words, but also to the voice. Mm-hmm. In other words, yeah, it's a person, how are you feeling? The guy goes, oh, just amazing. All right, then the words are saying amazing, but the voice, the call, is not amazing, and that's the real person coming out over there, right? Now, in terms of relation, so that's, you have to understand in human relationship, it's the call that really gets you deeper to understand what's going on with other people who aren't, for example, as close as your spouse. You go to work, right? You don't have, if you say, well, how was your day? Oh, just great. You probably just, whatever. You probably had a grumpy day. And that's it. And you let it go. And that's it. You know, you're not that close with that person. You can go by with external diplomacy that's found in the words, politically correct. That's it. Yeah, it can be with other people that you don't have to have a deep, intimate relationship. With your spouse, you have to learn to listen to the voice, not just the words. And if you don't listen to the voice, what's really deep inside the person, you're going to have big trouble in this relationship, because it's a relationship that has to be very intimate, and you got to be right on side to what's going on over there. So that's the Torah saying, just like there's the call of a chassan and a kala, that's the call, there's also the call of Torah. That's how you have to learn Torah. If you go with the words alone, you have at best a superficial understanding, and not only that, but also the words may be misleading. So you have to listen to the voice of the Torah and understand the sounds behind the words, just as you do in a relationship with your spouse. It's interesting, years ago, I remember, it just comes to mind, when I was in Tel Shishi, when I was in the Kollel, there was this, I don't know, secular / modern Orthodox Jew. It was a professor, a chveis. I don't remember this specific piece of Shulchan Aruch. So he'd come sometimes to the yeshiva. He went to a shir. Sometimes had a few minutes. He would sit down, open up a sefer, and learn. He took a Shulchan Aruch, and he was reading Shulchan Aruch. And I don't remember the exact case, but it was one of those, you know, eino ella, you know, the double negative expressions of the Talmud, you know, or you know, it didn't have any punctuation. So if you read it like an Israeli newspaper, you know, you could totally read it absolutely wrong. You know, that's the way the Lashon of Chazal, right, was written in a different era, and it has no punctuation. And he was looking at halacha. He says, look, this halacha seems to say X. I said, you're not reading it correctly. I read it again, and I stopped at a different place, and it came out to the exact opposite. You know, like the word lo wasn't part of the sentence, but part of a previous sentence. I say, you read it like this, stop, and now you really is. He said, well, you wouldn't know that. I say, Shkoyach, you're looking at the Shulchan Aruch, which is based on the Beis Yosef, and the Beis Yosef bases commentary on the Tor, and the Tor is based on the wording of the Rishonim who are analyzing the Gemara. If you'd start from the Gemara and do the Rishonim and the Tor and the Beis Yosef, and you saw what the Beis Yosef said, and now when he writes the Shulchan Aruch in a very brief way, you'd understand that's the only meaning he could have. But if you're starting with the Shulchan Aruch and trying to read without das, without punctuation, and trying to understand yourself, you know, as a great rabbi said, if you want to be a heretic, you need not go further than the Torah. There's enough heresy in the Torah. A superficial reading of the Torah can give you heresy. So that is the point of Torah. Torah is saying, you know, again, just like, you know, you come home after a hard day's work and your wife, you ask your wife, how was your day? And she gives you one of those, oh, just fine, right? So the word fine says one thing. The tone is very different. You got to pick up on the nuance, realize it, and then you got to sit down and say, what was the problem? What happened? You have to know how to speak, how to this, what to get some more information, and then you'll find out a whole story could have happened behind the scenes, and this explains why it's being so unhappy and this and that. You got to go, you know, you have the pshat is fine, the remez is the tone, and then you got to go to the drush. Okay, what precipitated this fight? And then you gotta go to the sod. What's the core? What maybe misguided mita does your spouse have? Or what's manipulating the situation? Only when you get to the core of what's really the source of everything will you really understand what's going on and you understand the person better. So guess what? God said, you know, in order to do that, I'm gonna give you something that is the source of all reality, which is Torah. And I'm gonna create the Torah in the same way that I created the world. You read a certain word in the Torah, and you see that word doesn't fit in. That's an extra word. It doesn't make any sense. Hashem purposely made the Torah hard to understand, because you got to learn, if you learn Torah properly, and you are able to penetrate to the voice of Torah, then that success will be the role model for us to know how to handle personal relationships, especially with our spouse. And the effort that we make to plumbing the depths of the Torah shows how much we care about it, about our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've already said that the Torah is the diary of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the last lesson. But just reading the diary is not enough. You got to understand the feelings behind the words. And if you could do that, you can appreciate it more. And then you could improve your relationships with other people. So that's the connection. A person who dances and gladdens the heart of a chassan and kala merits to understand Torah. Now you see the connection between those two things very well, because they each have a call. And, you know, so therefore you can't just be satisfied with a slipshod shot. It's not the gay, it's not this. You have to go and take it till you get it a chlorkite and to truly understand what Hashem means on all levels. And ultimately, when a person knows all of the nigla Torah, the revealed Torah, or if you know you go into the nister, you go into the deeper Kabbalistic or Hasidish way of understanding what the pshat really mean. What does this really mean at all? It affects my life. And that's what he's saying. We're being negligent. We have to, once we appreciate, we should appreciate that Hashem gave us this gift of Torah. Now we have to really analyze. So this gift of Torah, am I really giving my full effort to truly understand what the Torah means? So therefore, the exercise, we would do the following. When you learn a segment of Torah, you got to make it your business to always ask a question on what you've learned. If you learn a whole segment and don't have any question about it, means you have definitely not penetrated the superficial level, because anything you learn, be it Chumash, be it Navi, be it Mishnayos, be it Gemara, on the superficial level, you have to have questions. So you should write down your question, take stock of the questions, and you don't have to have answers. You know, the fact you're having questions, meaning you're not looking at it superficially. As we say, Shailus Chacham Chatzi Tshuva, the question of the wise man is half an answer. So you may get, you may have one question and then another. And then sometimes, quite often, one question will answer another. So that's one thing you can do. Another thing, try to learn something that's a little bit more challenging. You know, sometimes people are satisfied with very simple readings. You know, they're reading English books, never want to take on a Hebrew Sefer, or they're going to read a Hebrew Sefer, something very easy. And you can appreciate, why do we keep going over the Torah, the same Torah portion every year? Why? Because every year, you should try to understand a deeper way. So first year, you're learning the Chumash. Next year, it's Chumash with Rashi. And then you're going to add Ramban. And then you're going to add Evan Ezra. And then Sephorno. And then you're going to, you know, go through the Mikros Gedolos and Kli Yoker. And then when you finish with that, then you go to the Hasidish form, etc., etc. So that's another way of learning something that forces you to learn deeper. So this could be part of this Cheshbon HaNefesh. Okay, what am I going to do in my learning this year to truly try to understand something? And finally, you know, don't be satisfied with the question you come up with, or the fact that you're grappling with the more challenging passages, like the first two things we said, but make it your business to ask somebody who's more knowledgeable to you and find out what the answer is. And doing that will also show you how important it is to you, how important your relationship with Hashem is. So then, this Friday night, when you say Shaschal on Friday night, and you apply what you've learned, then you try to apply that to the relationship with your spouse, then your relationship will be much deeper and much more satisfying, as there will be lots of... The biggest problem with most of the fighting in marriage is you either misunderstand what the spouse meant, or the spouse doesn't feel like you care to understand them, and you don't respect me, and that's where the problems begin. And that's the same relationship we have with Hashem. If you really respect Hashem, you want to respect everything he says and understand it to the greatest possible level. Okay, we're not Moshe Rabbeinu, but we could always understand things better and apply it in our lives in that way. And this is the fifth one of these things.